The fight for civil rights may seem like a chapter in the history books, but all across the South, there are living, breathing stories of incredible courage and extraordinary resilience in the face of ongoing injustice. Welcome to Southern Gumption. I'm your host, Andy Lee, and together we'll embark on a journey through history and the present day to reveal the unheard voices who have been instrumental in shaping the fight for voting rights, justice system reform, and environmental justice. Southern Coalition for Social Justice does work within its three focus areas: voting rights, environmental justice, and justice system reform. But there are issues that sit within the intersection of those focus areas, where the worlds of two intricate systems meet, and everyday Southerners get caught in between. In these intersectional episodes, we're going to have straightforward conversations with experts and frontline advocates, explaining and exploring a topic that sits between two of SCSJ's focus areas. In this episode, we're talking about schools in Alamance County, the environmental injustices the community has faced, and struggles they've had with their local elected officials.
So my name is Teresa Drawn. I just turned 40 last week.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm married and I have four children, 17, 10, 7, and 4. Wow. My husband's in the restaurant business, so we have our hands pretty full all the time. I've been in North Carolina for 8 years and got involved with Down Home about 2020. Okay. I started volunteering and attending county commissioners' meetings with them. And then it kind of progressed from there, more volunteering, and then I started canvassing with them.
Okay.
And I've been there on and off ever since.
Cool. What would you, to a friend of yours who didn't know what Down Home is, what's the elevator pitch?
So we are, and what's most important to me about this, we're a member-led organization. Mm-hmm. So the directors, the higher-ups, whatever you want to call them, they don't decide what happens. As far as our chapter in Alamance, we're in 9 counties and hopefully 11 by the end of the year.
Wow.
So we organize in rural areas. We build power amongst working class folks, multiracial power. We vote together as a chapter on things. So like I said, you know, our directors are great, but our members are who actually control the chapter.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of organizing around folks who want to organize. Mm-hmm. So they offer trainings and all kinds of stuff. So if Down Home wasn't there tomorrow, we could go on and still make our county, our town better.
Right, yeah. Right. I feel like here at SCSJ, we also try to address sort of the like nonprofit industrial complex of like organizations or groups that helicopter in,
yes,
tell people you need this, 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 and this, and then leave. And then the scaffolding falls apart within a few years.
And then you can't do anything. Yeah. You don't have the knowledge. You haven't built the power. Mm-hmm. And you might be one or two people or a small group, and you need a lot of folks for power, you
right.
know?
Yeah. So today we are talking about some issues that the Alamance County community has been facing. To start out with, can you tell me, for maybe people who have never been there, can you tell me a little bit about Alamance County and what the community is like?
Alamance County as a whole is full of amazing, amazing folks. We're kind of shrouded in this heritage, especially at our county seat in Graham, of the Confederacy and all of that. So we have folks that are avid supporters of that, and maybe not as welcoming as other folks, mm-hmm, but the people that I've come in contact with on a community level, personal level, a school level, these are people that are good neighbors and they're good friends and they're kind. And we're actually pretty welcoming and friendly. So I love living in my community. I do. I love our county as a whole. Everybody has issues, but I think at the end of the day, I know the folks that are for everybody being happy and safe and healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of happy, safe, and healthy, let's talk a little bit about Alamance County Burlington school system.
Yes.
And some of the issues that they have been facing. Tell me a little bit about the mold problem.
So the mold problem is 10, 15, 20 years in the making. Mm-hmm. There was issues with mold for years prior to this incident. Actually, back in 2017, we had two ladies sitting on our school board, who one is now a sitting county commissioner member, and the other has kind of resigned from the school board prior. Mm-hmm. They brought the mold attention at Cummings High School to the county commissioner board. They were at the school for something. They were in the auditorium area. They saw caution tape. They saw severe damage from mold due to a roof leak, and proceeded to even invite Amy Gailey, who mm-hmm. is our senator right now.
Right.
At the time, she was, I believe, the chair of our county commissioner board. Invited Amy Gailey to come to Cummings to look at the issue, assess it. She declined. So this was 2023 that all of this mold stuff popped off, if you will. Mm-hmm. But this was not the first time people in power had been made aware of that.
Right. Tell me what happened in 2023.
So they had called a special meeting between the commissioners and our school board. Mm-hmm. I don't think Amy Gailey in her senator capacity was involved right then, but we had this special called meeting. And of course, a lot of folks went to watch the meeting and see what they were going to talk about. I honestly can't remember the first time I heard about the mold. It kind of just was a spark and then it just blew up.
Right.
So we had the first special called meeting because I believe it was the gentleman, his name is Greg Hook. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like the man who takes care of our buildings and all of that. And that was a new position for him in March of 2023. Mm-hmm. So I guess he was out assessing, you know, what he had to assess. It was his new responsibility. And he came upon Newland Elementary surface mold. He saw it, and then it just kind of blew up from there. At first, it was Newland and another school, but we had the special called meeting, and at that point, they were making their rounds to every school in our district.
Right.
So we had little knowledge of how large of a scope the problem was. Mm-hmm. In that first special called meeting, these people who are our elected officials were going back and forth to the point where our chair of our school board meeting had to bang her gavel several times. And it seemed like to me a finger pointing match versus, okay, we're at the point, we don't know if kids are going to go back to school. We've got to do something now. And it was just like, we need money. We're not giving you any money. Well, we need this. The county commissioners are not very giving of funding for our schools.
Yeah.
And our school buildings are county owned. So in reality, it's their responsibility to upkeep them. Mm-hmm. So we had that first special called meeting. And I believe it was then that they said school would be delayed by a week. They had a series of special called meetings where they were going over with a fine tooth comb what school had been tested, what school had not been tested. They were waiting for results. And then the final say was, we have to delay for another week. There were a lot of folks who thought we weren't even going to go back to school after those 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was going to happen either.
Right. So all in total, this is 32 of the 36 schools in the system.
That sounds right, yeah.
Tested for mold.
Yes, it was almost all of them. And some folks were confused, like, how do we have mold at newer schools? Well, it's multifaceted. We were turning off the air conditioning in the summer. Hmm. I get it. We want to save money.
Right.
But what does that do? It puts the humidity at a super high level. We live in damn North Carolina, for God's sakes. It's the summer. So you have buildings that are going through super, super like fluctuations in temperature. So moisture is building up. And of course, mold's going to grow. Mm-hmm. They did release photos of the cleanup, of the remediation. And when I tell you, okay, now I'm this person, I rode around to not every school, but most. I wanted to see what was in the damn dumpsters. Yeah. I want to see this. Chalkboards, our dry erase boards, just completely torn off. Wooden cabinets in the dumpsters. It was tremendous, tremendous. And also this lovely remediation company left behind things like marijuana in our school, one of our schools, our elementary school. decided to use teacher things. Some teacher things got thrown away that they probably have used their own funding for. Mm-hmm. It was almost every school, and where some was very mild, some were absolutely awful. Cummings is still not done. Like, there are still walls that are not complete because I guess we don't have the funding. Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They use two separate companies to do their pre-remediation testing, mm-hmm. right? So at that point, when we went back to school, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the point of our students actually going into the building, we did not even have post-remediation test results back. So they let our children into these schools that had not been cleared legally.
Right.
And for our family, we didn't want to send them back unless I saw pre-remediation reports. So all of my children missed the first 3 or 4 days of school
right.
until I saw them and I was confident and nothing was going to keep my junior home. He had made the decision that he was going to go. His academics are pretty important to him because he's on his way to college. So I lost that battle with him, but it was fine. So I kept my other two home with me until I got those reports. Mm-hmm. And thank God at like Hillcrest Elementary where they go, it was very minimal. I believe Hillcrest is one of the newer schools.
Right.
And when I say newer, like probably 20, 30 years type of thing. Right.
That's crazy.
Absolutely wild. So got the pre-remediation. I actually also asked for a few more because I'm a substitute teacher as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to sub a lot at Turntine Middle, which had, when I tell you I could see the mold at Turntine, it wasn't a question. The windows at Turntine were so old that they couldn't be replaced because they didn't make them anymore. Correct. And I don't know what the year was that Turntine built and opened a new wing, not a total new high school, just a new wing. And there was mold in there as well. Mm-hmm. Yes. Tiles lifting up off of the floor and you could physically see the mold. The rats as size of house cats at Turntime also.
My God.
The roaches, huge. Williams also has the same. A lot of our schools have mice, rats, roaches.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
So I was fine sending my kids to Hillcrest, but I was so eager to see the post-remediation results. And of course, those took 2 to 3 weeks. And what upset me and other folks the most was why weren't these pre-remediation reports just posted for us to see? So if you weren't somebody who's involved in school board stuff or involved at all, basically, you didn't even know that that was a thing you could request.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it doesn't, you know, they throw around the word transparency all the time, the district, the board, everybody. And it's like, you really weren't being very transparent in posting these summaries versus some people wanted to see exactly what they were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
They threw around this word called the toxigenic mold.
Mm-hmm.
Toxigenic mold only grows from water, right? We're talking about black mold, mold that can make you very sick.
Right.
As should everybody be just as scared of this allergenic mold as we are about the toxigenic.
Right.
Toxigenic is mostly, you know, in the roof, ceiling, whatever, you're not really coming in contact with it.
Mm-hmm.
The allergenic mold can be just as harmful to children, adults, whatever, because it's on surfaces.
Right.
You're breathing it in, you're touching it. So I found that interesting because when you Google things like allergenic mold, it's not very, it doesn't make you all crazy and like, oh my God, we're gonna die, you know?
Yeah.
My children have bad allergies, two of them. Can't tell you if that's related to school or not. I want to say it is. My junior in high school, absolutely, as soon as school started back up, he had a terrible cough. And he goes to Williams where the mold was significantly worse than my mm-hmm. other two. So I would say that he definitely felt health effects from that. I have a friend who has a child that has heart issues, and he had to have a procedure. And when they took pieces of his lung for a biopsy, they absolutely found Aspergillus living in his lungs and growing in his lungs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
There are children who have chronic allergies, headaches, all kinds of stuff. So do I 100% put my faith and my trust in those pre- or post-remediation results? No, because I find it odd that the district who really doesn't have experience. They're not microbiologists. Right, they're not right. allergists. How do you know what to set the criteria for or not? Mm-hmm. So that was freaking alarming for me.
Right.
They didn't bring in an outside person to say, there might be no federal or state guidelines, but this is the guideline we should be doing.
Right.
Cummings High School, that I had mentioned prior, they had 700,000 mold spores per cubic foot in that,
oh
in that
my
school.
God.
Yes. And that is a historically black school.
Yeah.
In ABSS. That made me absolutely sickened, especially since a lot of the toxigenic mold was focused in places where kids have their specials, music, their band, their instruments. My son is in band. It took them out of the football season for, you know, playing in marching band for a good 3 or 4 weeks mm-hmm. because their instruments had to be professionally cleaned. They had to be sent out, taken care of, brought back in. The area of the band room was off limits for a while. Mm-hmm. So it affected students on a lot of levels.
Right.
And we're also dealing with a lot of learning loss from COVID.
Yeah.
So it was like, great, we're missing 2 weeks of school on top of all of, you know, everything mm-hmm. else. I don't trust these folks. I don't trust that. I think they wanted to get those schools opened immediately. I think they did not want any attention from a state or federal level.
Yeah.
Our Senator Amy Gailey could have stepped in sooner. She could have declared some type of emergency that would have freed up some funding or maybe at least gotten us some help at a state or federal level. Mm-hmm. But I would guess that they don't want those folks poking around in what they have going on.
When you talk about the spark that sort of launched everything to being like a firestorm. Mm-hmm. What were the conversations or what do you remember you and your peers or other moms, other parents talking about? What was the feeling in Alamance County while all of you guys were trying to figure out what was going on?
So you had some folks who were, ugh, the mold's been there for years. Everybody's fine. And then you had folks going, oh my God, there was mold when I was in high school 10, 15 years ago. Could I have had lasting health effects? People were scared. Mm-hmm. And that is very valid. We send our children to school sometimes for longer than they're even home for, right? So they're breathing this in. People were scared. People were angry. People were looking to point fingers. I wanted to know who was responsible for this and how could it possibly get this bad?
Right.
Because it didn't happen overnight. People wanted to then go to school board meetings. People wanted to show up, which I think was great for us. You know, people were starting to get more involved. Mm-hmm. They were also starting to see that it wasn't just the mold issue, that these schools are in such bad disrepair. Like, why have we not been focusing on this? Mm-hmm. But generally, the consensus was we were scared. We were hurt. We were scrambling for childcare for 2 weeks. Thank God I stay home and any work that I do, I can bring them with me
right.
or do remotely, whatever. But there were folks who incurred massive expenses for those 2 weeks of having to find childcare last minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so interesting because air quality, building quality, school, mold in schools, these are all really like classic environmental justice issues. And things that are relatively like, I mean, I can't think of a goddamn person in the world who's like, oh, mold in the schools? I don't care about that.
Yeah, it's
like,
fine.
You tell anyone that and like anyone is going to be like, well, we should get the mold out.
And especially the extent that this was.
Right.
We're not talking about a couple of counters mm-hmm. under a sink. We're talking about at some schools, it was extensive.
Yeah.
And I guess like, yeah, who would be okay with that?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah. And so tying this like environmental justice issue into the sort of electoral, elected official realm, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the school board. We've mm-hmm. talked a little bit about the district. We've talked about the county commissioners. how would you like characterize their responses and their, I mean, we talked about finger pointing and accusations.
Like the school board and the district have been accused of, you know, overspending. Mm-hmm. Or at one of these specially called meetings, they brought up, we spent X amount of money on teacher bonuses. Now, if you know anything about Alamance County, A, we don't have enough teachers. B, we don't have enough bus drivers. Do you know why that is? Because we don't pay them enough, okay? And that's across the board. It's not even just bus drivers and teachers.
Sure.
We're talking TAs, support staff, especially counselors, social workers. Guilford and Orange pay their staff in general more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So why would a teacher come from Guilford County? Because some people live, you know, you could live in Whitsitt, Gibsonville, whatever. Come here to our county and choose that to A, commute, B, to get paid less, C, to deal with this crap that we're dealing with now,
right,
that Guilford County schools are not dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that? So, and this is completely accurate. Our chair of our county commissioners, his name is John Paisley, in an open meeting recorded, he said, it just pains me, okay? He said, we're never having another meeting at a school building because my wife and I are ill. Okay, Mr. Paisley, it's okay for teachers, staff, and children to be in that environment 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But you won't go sit in a specially called meeting at central office because you got sick. Huh. Cute, right?
Yeah.
That was the most infuriating thing. Can you imagine?
Wow.
How absolutely demeaning it is for that man. Now, our county commissioners, they are way out of touch with a working person. Most of them all lived in the same area in Burlington, West mm-hmm. Burlington, where they have a plethora of grocery options, okay, public transit
right.
that goes all through West Burlington. And the other parts of Burlington are, you know, kind of undesirable, if you will. Honestly, some of that was very traumatic. Sitting in these meetings for hours,
sure.
watching these people who hold the money, right, to our schools, who hold the power to our schools, watching them go back and forth. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The commissioners were not forthcoming at all with funding, at all. They were desperately going, what can we move from this fund to this fund? Are these funds okay to touch? Do those need to be earmarked for something special? Because, you know, a lot of federal funding and state funding,
sure.
you've got to use very specifically or you got to pay that back. So they were reallocating funds, doing all of this. One thing that was never brought, you know, they never took any kind of responsibility for, they don't believe they should have to maintain these county buildings, which is wild to me. You don't give us enough of the budget
mm-hmm.
to allow to fix everything that needs to be fixed. You know, everything's going up. Duke raised their rates. So now we're facing a deficit in our budget. And some of that is from electric bills. And, you know, now we've learned we can't turn the air off in the summer because mold will grow. So now that's a thing now. Everybody's concerned about it. Our electric bills are skyrocketing. So we have this, $3.2 million deficit in our budget right now. And our commissioners have, I think it's somewhere between 70 and 80 million sitting in their county fund. And it's this big thing, you know, it can't go below 20% because the state doesn't like that. And I'm not a budget expert.
Right.
But honestly, we don't have to be budget experts to know that this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But they think we've misused our funds. Oh, yes, the teacher bonus. In open meetings, a couple of these commissioners, now some of them were for it, but some of them were like, you used that money incorrectly, and now you want us to give more. I'm sorry, but I was one of those people who got a bonus. I got a $500 bonus, and it helped. I just don't see how these people don't value the teachers, the schools themselves.
Right.
The schools, they're public schools, they're communities. Some of our children don't have the community at home, and they're spending so much time at school, that's probably somebody's safe space. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I just find it so hard to believe that they don't put more value into this.
Right.
Our school board, they were great. They were wonderful. I don't see eye to eye with every person who sits on that board, mm-hmm. but I do know that half of them are 100% for us and want to see our children happy and healthy and safe. Unfortunately, they're just the school board.
Right.
And, you know, they're not our CFO. They're not the superintendent.
It is so hard, I'm sure, from a school board perspective because they don't collect their own taxes. They're 100%. I mean, like, I'm sure every school board member there would be like, I would love for us to have perfect schools and I would love for us to pay our teachers very, very well.
Well, and the school board is who passed the bonus program. I believe it came from COVID monies. And the commissioners were like, well, you could have used that to fix a roof. What are you doing giving these people bonuses? So they were in favor of that,
yeah.
and they voted and passed that, and there were a lot of people who were affected by that in a really nice way.
Yeah,
you know?
My grandma was a school teacher, my mom was a school teacher. I have like half of my friend groups are in education, and so I just whenever people are like anti like raising teacher pay or anti teacher bonuses, I'm like, you don't know any teachers in your life, do you?
Because probably like. Not.
Mm-hmm. I've never met, like, universally an industry filled with people who are like, okay, well, I'm about to die.
Right.
And
but I'm
so
coming to work.
Out, but I'm coming to work, and right. it's going to be great. And the kids are going to have fun.
Exactly. My 10-year-old son has emotional behavioral issues.
Yeah.
He has crippling ADHD, and he also has another condition called DMDD. So it's a mood dysregulation disorder, and it's very challenging. I might not always agree with what the teachers do and what administration does at my son's school, but I can tell you for absolute certainty that there are teachers and support staff in that school that care about him so, so much.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that the teachers use their own money all the time. So I just can't get on board with being upset because we use COVID funding for bonuses for these people, you know?
Yeah. Obviously, the like conflict between the county and the school system is ongoing. I mean, just last week, the superintendent was fired. What's your take on that situation?
You really want to know? So, okay, do I think that Dane Butler is probably a decent human? Mm. Sure. This is not the first time that this has happened to him. You know
right.
that, right?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about his history?
Yeah, I did a little
Yeah, I don't know specifics, but this is not the first time, okay? So before he even put in a full calendar year with us, we gave him a raise and a bonus, okay? Mm. I just don't know what was he giving us that warranted
All
a raise and a bonus.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because I tell you what he did cause in his last months. He caused mass panic and anger. The school district was coming out with, we're cutting Splash, which is our dual language program.
Mm-hmm.
We're cutting this and we're cutting that. We're going to eliminate social workers at these schools. And it scared everybody, as it should have. There's still a hiring freeze, all of this. And that freaked people out. It freaked me out. I'm going, what is my kid going to do if there's not, if Miss Badillo is not at the school? Who am I going to call to vent and talk to and get advice from? Who are we going to have in our community that's leaving, that we're not going to see again? He created issues for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was almost like he cried wolf, because then a few weeks later, oh no, we're not going to cut anything. What are you talking about? We found the funding and this and that. It was very uncertain. And I'm just speaking from Alamance County. We can't have that. We can't. We're dealing with so much crap on a daily basis. Like, and that's all over the place. I don't know about all over the place. I only know about where I live. And I see people struggling. There are folks who can't feed their kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have no affordable housing in Alamance County. And then now you're telling these parents and staff, these jobs are going to go. So, and then it was, okay, we're not going to really cut all these people. It's maybe just going to be a few. I don't know why they did that. It's wild. And then I'm not even sure where they're at with Lowell Rogers because he's facing criminal charges. Yeah. And do you know what that does to a parent knowing the situation?
Teresa is talking about Lowell Rogers, the district's deputy superintendent. On February 19th, he was appointed to oversee the district's finances. A day later, he was charged by the Alamance County Sheriff's Department with failing to report a crime against a juvenile.
We're at like a very crucial moment, and I see it either going beautifully and we're going to be a community again in our schools and everything's going to be great, or it's just going to get so much worse.
Right.
And that scares me because I am a person who has a child who is not cookie cutter for school. We have limited, even with a voucher, I can't afford to send my kids to private school. There's no way. I don't also have the privilege of being able to drive an hour for a school. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just like, I think this is like a very critical time in Alamance in general with the seats that are up for election and us trying to look for a new superintendent.
Right. Yeah. So as you do look forward, you know, the county is giving some of this money. And as you said, it's an election year. What is Down Home hoping for in Alamance County in 2024?
So, like I said earlier, the members lead Down Home.
Yeah.
So it's really going to be what the members vote on as far as endorsements.
Right.
And we're nonpartisan, right? So we look at the candidate and I'm a DuPaying member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not on staff or anything like that. So I'm a DuPaying member and I don't vote straight anything. I'm going to look and see what you're going to do for me, how you're going to affect my way of life, and I vote that way. So hopefully we get some candidates that are willing to, because they go through a very lengthy interview process.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping we get folks that are willing to do that. And we have some good candidates, you know, to put to a vote to endorse, but how the vote is going to play out is, you know, we have a lot of people who are up for election, who are running, who are in favor of vouchers. And I just can't understand how you would want to dismantle our public schools. I'm a product of public schools, and I think I turned out fine. I have very amazing memories of teachers that left a very big impact on my heart and my mind. And I know teachers that are teaching right now who do that for kids. And the voucher program was created for underprivileged children. But how they have it set up, it's not going to benefit underprivileged children.
Do you think the mold issue will be top of mind for people as they make their votes this year?
Honestly, no. No. I think that there are a lot of folks who are not involved, and that's okay. Not everybody has the ability to go to meetings. Not everybody has the 2 hours, 3 hours to listen to a meeting. Most folks are not talking about the mold. People in my circles are, but you know, just regular folks who are not as involved as others are not talking about it. And I think in their mind, they heard remediation and they think that the problem is no longer, but it absolutely is.
Right. So what are you guys doing to engage in conversation with folks to make it clear that these, you know, this issue didn't go away, it's still a problem? And how do you want people to engage or help?
So we work with another group called Public School Strong, and these people are wonderful. They go to every school board meeting. They sit there, they all have the same shirt on, and they support, they public comment. It's wonderful. So we like to partner with them to do that kind of thing. Down Home also offers training. So like you've never made a public comment, come over here. We'll show you how to create that. We'll run through it with you. It's nerve-wracking to be up there. I mean, and our school board meetings have been very packed lately. So it's kind of nerve-wracking to be up there in front of the board. And, you know, you have some district people there and then you have the whole audience. It can be very intimidating and very, you know, it's kind of weird sometimes, but we help with that and we train. We run issue campaigns. Now, just like I said about the endorsements and the members, they also vote on what issue campaigns we run. So ultimately, like speaking as a member, I would love for us to make them give us this money and make it a constant thing where we won't have to worry about this in the future. Have it be a permanent change, and hopefully they realize, oh my goodness, you guys really are underfunded. And if we can show up with enough members and make them listen to us and understand us, maybe we can actually get something done.
Thank you for listening to Southern Gumption. If you like this episode, please leave us a review and share it with your friends. Make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on an episode. You can learn more about Down Home at their website, downhomenc.org. You can find out more about SCSJ and the work that we do at southerncoalition.org. Find us on Twitter at SCSJ or Instagram at SCSJOfficial. I'm Andy Lee, and this has been Southern Gumption. For the South, by the South.